The rose is intoxicating. It's just dizzying. I'll pass it around. The fragrance is just sublime. It's amazing. There's no reason whatsoever to try to transcend the body. It can't be done anyway. So if we believe we've transcended the body, all it is the adoption of an extreme. It's kind of like up and out. But the transcendence of the body, in other words, the exclusion of the body from the scope of awakened awareness, is really what we could call mental illness. It's just more point of view. It really isn't, it's an aberration of point of view. It may not be the conventional point of view, but it's still an anomaly of point of view. So no need to do that. Just allow the fragrance of the rose to be totally intoxicating. Be under the influence of indivisible scent, the indivisible scent of the great totality. You know, there are two approaches to this matter of awareness. One approach to awareness is that, okay, there's awareness, and within awareness are all the points of view. And in the Great Freedom Teaching, we use this phrase, points of view, to mean people, places, and things all together, whatever they may be, inwardly or outwardly. So all of what we experience as being internal to a personal identity and external to a personal identity, that all these are included within awareness. So one approach is to refine all of these away and to see awareness as greater than the points of view, as points of view is kind of a lesser expression of awareness. And to refine away the points of view until there's just awareness. The other approach, which is the approach of great freedom, is to realize that the points of view and awareness are inseparable. They're inseparable, just like the color blue is inseparable from the sky, just like a rainbow is inseparable from the sky, just like clouds are inseparable from the sky. So they're all equal in being pure space or basic space. And these two approaches are very distinct, because with the refinement away of all points of view, and seeing them as lesser than awareness, included within awareness, but it's awareness is greater than the points of view. And points of view is something to get rid of. There is great relief from the mind stream, so to speak, from mental content. However, there isn't complete enlightenment. And the distinction between the two is that one is complete relief from points of view, from mental content, and the other is the complete enlightenment that equals complete benefit. So complete enlightenment is not only unwavering lucidity and bliss, but it's also the emanation of beneficial qualities and activities. Beneficial qualities and activities are inseparable from awakened awareness. So the only awareness that can be said to be truly awakened is the awareness that has all three of these: unwavering, utter lucidity, bliss, a single expanse of bliss, and beneficial qualities and activities. So this is very easy, you know, it's very easy. Once we try to effort for something, like try to get away from some of the points of view, just have certain good points of view and not have any of the bad points of view, and just ignore the neutral points of view, without seeing definitively that they're all equal to awareness, that it's only awareness as that point of view that is the experiencing. Only awareness as that point of view. So we wouldn't know awareness without the point of view. Each point of view recognizes itself as awareness without a perceiver or perceived. So you see, if we try to exclude some of our conduct and say, oh, this is bad conduct and that's bad conduct, without seeing everything as awareness, or this is a bad emotion, this is a good emotion, this is a bad thought, this is a good thought, unless we can include everything as awakened awareness, we can't be totally free. It's just impossible that we be totally free. So, you know, within that context, I'd like to mention a few things about the way we come together in the Great Freedom Teaching. In the Great Freedom Teaching, it is a safe community of mutual support for awakening. And that means that each person is allowed the opportunity to speak without any crosstalk from other people. So when one person speaks, that person is allowed to speak and learn to speak of themselves as awakened awareness and become acquainted with their own points of view and how their points, how belief in the points of view and not recognizing the points of view as awareness as well as a descriptive label, how belief in only the description of the point of view has caused suffering. One of the dynamics of point of view between people is that one person says something, in other words, their points of view, and then another person doesn't listen and then interrupts with their own points of view. So it's kind of like lobbing hand grenades into each other's space. So, you know, in the Great Freedom Teaching, whether it's in satsang or in any of the retreats or intensives, each person has the opportunity to speak without any crosstalk from other people, without any crosstalk at all. And in this way, it gives each of us an opportunity to really know ourselves and to speak about that publicly. And this is very, very rare. You know, it's very, very rare. So it's something to be honored. It's something to be honored and safeguarded. And when we participate in a group, it's part of our responsibility to the group to allow that to occur. Because, you know, for each of us, when we have the opportunity to talk about ourselves as awareness, as we gradually familiarize ourselves with the richness and power of that more and more, and where we have just a safe and open forum to speak of how point of view has affected us in our life and how not seeing point of view as awareness as well as a descriptive label has caused us suffering as individuals and has caused suffering in our relationships and caused suffering in the world, then, you know, we don't really have an opportunity to get acquainted with that in a deeply intimate way. We only have like a general philosophical overview or intellectual understanding. And when we deeply allow that to just seep in, it seeps in and it bursts out simultaneously. So it seeps in and it bursts out simultaneously. Then, you know, every single subatomic particle of our being is saturated with the vibrating, living reality that we are awareness. And then, you know, when that is so, more and more everything about us, our thoughts, our speech, our actions, are just entirely imbued with awakened awareness. So, you know, it's very simple. But we all support each other by allowing each person to speak when they're speaking and not interjecting anything. Another thing that I wanted to mention is that in the Great Freedom Teaching, I'm not the only teacher. there are other teachers. I think we have about 25 now altogether, all over the world. And so, you know, every teacher, no matter who they are, no matter how great a being they are, just think of the greatest beings who ever lived. All of these teachers, no matter who they are, had their first time that they were teaching, or they had an initial phase when they were teaching, you know, like the first year or two or something like that. So just know that anyone who is a great freedom teacher is absolutely qualified to do so, and they all have the direct experience of awakened awareness. So, you know, in this way too, when we give each other the mutual support to come into the fullness of who we are and share that with one another, it allows this to flourish in a grassroots way throughout the world. We not only make a commitment to there being no hierarchy in terms of the sharing of awakening, this teaching of the direct perception of awareness. We not only make a commitment to that intellectually, but we make a living commitment through our actions of actually allowing this to occur in a community of respect. So, you know, I wanted to mention some of those things because I know there are some people here who are very new to the Great Freedom Teaching. And in many of our meetings, we make announcements about this at the beginning of each meeting, so we'll start doing that here too, so there's a clear understanding of what that is. And this is the kind of thing where, you know, it really isn't a rule. In other words, each person here chooses to participate in this way. So this is, if this is a way that anyone does not want to participate, then that's okay. But it would be better than to have another forum than this one to express oneself. Because here we really focus on a community of mutual support, a community of mutual support where everyone is allowed the opportunity to share their direct realization of awareness and how that has been affected by belief and point of view. Does everyone understand that, what I'm saying? Are there any questions at all?
I think it's not so clear. When one is allowed to speak and to be himself, to express, and say there is 25 teachers, or maybe one day 300 or whatever, you know. But the moment one imagines.
Simon, could you help me?
The moment one is imagining this is a teacher, he is awakened, you have to pay him respect. I mean, the respect is called disrespect. You look twice. It means the energy of the person or that what you call outburst is a happening. From there on, you get respect. You don't get respect because he is so and so and so and so, in my understanding. The respect is a happening from the emanation that person of awareness that one is able to understand.
That's fine. And also, it's up to you to decide whether you want to be in that circumstance or not. So it doesn't really have anything to do with the circumstance. It all has to do with whether you want to be there or not. That's all. So, you know, it's we really focus in the Great Freedom Teaching on the most important choice we ever make. And the most important choice we ever make is how we're going to use our awareness. That's the most important choice we ever make. But, you know, when people come to the Great Freedom Teaching, it is structured in a very specific way. And that way in which it is structured is for the maximum or optimal realization of awakened awareness in everyone here. And in order to allow that for that to occur, there's a certain structure in place. But you know, we say that we don't select anyone to be here or not. It's not up to us. We don't select anyone to be here or not. Anyone who wants to be here can be here. But if you want to be here, then you commit to the group responsibility of sharing this mutual support for awakening. That's all. That's all. And it, you know, say you come to one great freedom teaching, the 12 inquiries or whatever it is, and you don't feel a connection with that teacher. Well, then I'd suggest you go find another great freedom teacher where you do feel that. And just, you know, wait until they give an intensive. There'll be other intensives and there are other teachers, and this is just the way we are as human beings. But it doesn't mean that we need to make anyone wrong because of that. It's just a personal choice. We say, well, I think I'd feel more connected with someone else. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think there is a misunderstanding of the story in a personal
pardon?
This example, and I've reacted in my television frame here. I can see there is a maybe a misunderstanding of a whole story that it comes into. I don't know from where, from this, from here, from somewhere.
Oh. No. I'm just speaking to everyone here because in most of our groups, this is clearly understood from the beginning. Whereas in since we've been here in India, we haven't made that clearly understood. So you see, that's up to us. It's up to us to make that clearly understood. There's no way anyone can understand that unless we let people know what the commitment is. So, yeah.
Just to put in myself in a personal experience, like in this event, I have been in these so-called 12 inquiries. Mm. Only because there was an emanation of understanding through your presence. Mm. Otherwise, I haven't got anything out, but I enjoy it because it's all, they're all human beings, present human beings, mm-hmm. looking to be here mm-hmm. for the scope of truth, of awareness, so in the company of truth. There it is, so I feel I'm part of that. That's it. I have to be sincere. I don't. In that sense, one has to be truthful to what he feels, mm-hmm. and without, with the respect, but the respect of him, mm-hmm. then the responsibility, the ability to respond in the truth, nothing else, mm-hmm. of himself, or of the situation that requires. Mm-hmm. So, does that mean is that if I don't see that that teacher is emanating the awareness that he's supposed to show, am I supposed to
be? No, it doesn't. It means that I just stated this very clearly, okay? And I'm going to repeat it again, all right? If you don't personally resonate with the teacher, it's up to you to be in an intensive where you do personally resonate with the teacher instead of saying that the teacher you're with is an emanating something. This is a key distinction. This is a key distinction about living as awareness. It is such a key distinction, I cannot overemphasize it enough. It is such a key distinction. There is no one wrong. You know, everything, no matter what it is, whether it's a dirt ball or a 10 million carat diamond, is the emanation of awakened awareness and nothing else. So, you know, if you only want to be with me, then wait until I give a 12 inquiry intensive or whatever it is. But it's no reason to make anything wrong. Yeah, yeah. Or to say that someone isn't emanating anything. Because, you know, have you heard this term mukti diksha? Where there's the liberation diksha. There's a big spectacle and there's some kind of liberation that's transmitted. Mukti means liberation. Well, every dust ball is mukti diksha. You know, no matter what it is, all the subatomic particles and even beyond all the subatomic particles, that is mukti diksha. So whatever we see anywhere is what we realize. If we see a bunch of crap, then that's what we realize, a bunch of crap. If we see blazing splendor of awakened awareness, that's what we realize. So you see, it's all up to us. I really am, I'm dead serious about this. And not only that, I have the results to prove it. So I'm not just spouting off about a bunch of stuff. And so, you know, it is, we have one hand out up on the table, the most important choice. It's the most important choice we ever make is how to use our awareness in each moment. And we either use our awareness to rest naturally as that awareness with the big hug embrace of all points of view, which means all people, places, and things. It's not a head trip. All people, places, and things are awakened awareness only, sublimely perfect in their own right. And through that, we realize who we are. That's the most important choice we make in every moment. And if we don't make that choice, then we veer off into the fires of hell. You know, that's just the way it is. And if we don't see how our points of view blindside us in this regard, then it's like driving 100 kilometers a minute or a mile or whatever it's called, 100 miles an hour into a brick wall. You know, if we don't clearly understand how our points of view have blindsided us, it is like driving in a fog 100 miles an hour into a brick wall. So you see, we can only truly understand that by resting naturally as awareness. And you know, for some of us, we've spent decades blaming everyone, blaming people, blaming places, blaming things, you know, blaming our loved ones, first our mother and father, then our partners, then the government, and the government leaders, and then the gurus, and then the this and the that, you know, our neighbor, the barking dog, the construction site all night long, you know, whatever it is. And we're constantly on this harangue where we're firing off our missiles of point of view over into another terrain of point of view. But do you get it? This is just like living in a total war zone for our entire lives. It's a bummer. You know, it's nothing but a bummer.
I just want to ask about the notion of trust when you come to the teaching, though, because I think for me, I know that I'm still learning and caught in points of view.
Uh-huh.
So I just am making the choice to trust and trust that you have teachers that you've selected.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I trust that whole process without questioning my own, because I don't know yet.
Well, that's the proper disposition to come to the Great Freedom Teaching. Yeah, that's great.
Can I just say something?
Uh-huh.
I had I didn't have the right disposition when I came here. I frankly, I didn't believe any of it, but I was prepared to come and, you know, take you at your word. Candy said to me, just come and it'll just take care of itself. And it really isn't, who the teacher is completely irrelevant. The emanation that you're talking about is coming from me. The emanation from Candice is coming from me. Does that make sense?
It is. Well, yeah. I'm here because you are.
You sense in the presence of certain people is coming from you. In my experience, I can only. Do you understand what I mean?
Every guru, no matter who they are, is rooted in your awareness. So Buddha is there because of your own awareness. Buddha is an emanation of your own awareness. And anything in your awareness, you are. So if you see Buddha everywhere, then you're Buddha. If you see a bunch of crap everywhere, well...
the teaching... It worked without me having any faith or... I can't remember the words that you were using, but it's... From my experience, it just came up. The awareness and the compassion and... You know, it came up and then it went down and I got all frustrated and then it came back and it, you know... It's just...
I'll stop talking.
Okay. I just like to... Sorry.
No.
I did not...
I'll finish.
No, it seems like there is a misunderstanding. We, first of all, we are in the world of words, and words are not a tricky thing to give only one way reality. The experience I have was, and I think this came up because simply, I don't know, I have stated a fact of when we were answering, there was, do you trust the teacher? I don't know, maybe because of that. And I say, no, because I saw the teacher, I thought he was the one that was there and doing the 12 inquiries. And then it came up, no, it was you, the teacher. Then I said, yes. And I just be truthful. I don't want to create any trouble. But when I said my no, it was reason because of experiences directly, but it's not a complaint. We are all human beings, right? So we include everything. We include the so-called points, viewpoints that also a teacher can have.
Okay.
And in that sense, I simply say, this is my experience. And that's it. I don't want to...
Okay, Ollie, excuse me just a moment. This isn't about you. I'm talking to the group. Just,
like,
yeah.
It was a response to me.
No, it wasn't. It's not a response to you. It's just a response in general so that everyone can feel comfortable and safe here, no matter who they are. Well, yeah, I think things got a little out of hand the other day when there was a woman who came who was extremely expressive of arrogance and disdain. And so I think that got a little bit out of hand, and because we hadn't made it clear about our request that there be no crosstalk, then people who were new to the satsang thought that this was okay. But you know, it's really not okay. It's not okay. I've been sharing satsang for 24 years, a very long time. And one of the things I've learned is that there are many, many different kinds of people who come to satsang, but there's also a way for there to be a totally safe environment for satsang that encourages realization of the greatest number of participants. So please know that everything I speak about here is very carefully considered and an expression of the love of awareness. And really, it isn't about you. It's for everyone, you know, for the whole global human community, so that we all come together in indivisible awareness. For you and everyone else. Beatrice.
Can I?
Uh-huh.
I was just now that we are talking about sharing and started speaking. I know there's a lot of you that are just in the beginning of your 12 inquiry course. And I have been talking some to my friend Joanna, so I can And I just recently did the course as well, so I know what kind of process you are in, because I did it. And I think I just want to say in the beginning that I want to encourage everybody to really start talking about who you are or what you are realizing about yourself. Because, as you were saying before, with sharing you can also realize, it just opens up so much realization that we are so much alike. And that, for me, for example, in the beginning I was so afraid to just talk about things that happened like 15 years ago. I did not talk to anyone about it. And it was just, it was here and I knew that I had to talk about it. It was so difficult for me to do that. And I was so afraid of what people would think, and they would like judge me, or they would think that I was this or that, and then, you know, just a lot of fear. And then one day I just said it, whatever that was, and it was nothing. Suddenly it was like nothing. And if you really, really commit yourself to be honest to yourself, and admit yourself, and everybody who's in here, you are going to discover some amazing things. If you really have the courage, I mean, let yourself, you know, really, really let go of everything that you believe in. It's amazing, and I think it's also important that you, because I felt like total trust for the people in my inquiry. Sometimes it was just like, oh, this is crazy, I never met these people before, and you know, now I'm sitting here just revealing everything that I did not even tell my best friends, you know, some people I would not, that I would consider being my best friend back home. So I think it's very, very important that you really have the trust in the group, because it's like, and also saying that we, the normal rules doesn't apply here. It's like, you're not back in school. Like, there is a wrong or a right, or it's not really anything, you know? So just free yourself. And it's such a relief to do that. And really, really rely on the group. Because there is no one here that will think anything about what you're saying. And sharing is so beautiful, because you will always learn something new. Also me, I'm sitting here sharing with you, I'm also learning from what I'm saying and the feelings that comes up. That's all I wanted to say. So even you knew, I know also in the beginning, it was a big step to come up and sit here. And I don't think I wanted to do that like in my first 12 inquiries, but just do it. It's so nice. And everybody appreciates it so much. Okay.
Thank you, Beatrice. I could just sit back there all day and listen to people come up here. It's really beautiful. That's my goal. Just to sit in the back of the room. Are there any other questions or comments? For many of us, if we've been living based on our points of view, in other words, our opinions for a long time, we have all kinds of strong feelings about authority, what we consider to be authorities. Good morning, Shanti. And just know that the greatest authority figure is belief and point of view. That's the greatest authority figure. When I say that everything is an emanation of our own awareness and nothing else, I'm not speaking of something that is just a gloss over or a philosophy or some kind of thing to talk about. I'm talking about total reality, that everything is an emanation of our own awareness and nothing else. So if we believe that anyone is out to get us, then the only way that we can possibly come to terms with that in terms of a solution is to rest naturally. If we just react, boom, without resting naturally, we only see a tiny frame of reference for our options. All of our options are like on the head of a pin. But when we rest naturally, our options are the vast expanse of awakened awareness. And from that, we can see all kinds of opportunities, solutions, options that never would have been conceivable otherwise. And all based on love. So all of this comes from resting naturally without seeking anything. And as I say, you know, there are two approaches. One is just to hang out here and let it all seep in. In other words, I don't mean seeping in from me to you. I mean just yourself seeping into yourself. That's all that's happening. Yourself seeping into yourself, the heart seeping into the heart. Or rest naturally. If seeping in doesn't work for you and you want to do something, then just rest naturally as these perceptions come up, whatever they are. And give yourself a break from taking everything to be something. Just allow it all to be as it is. Just imagine those words typed out on a piece of paper, as it is. And now put them in italics. As it is. Everything as it is, awakened awareness. It has a vivid appearance, there's no doubt about it. We're not trying to erase it, expunge it, do away with it, annihilate it, exterminate it, extrude it, pound it out of existence, kick it out of the soccer field. We're not trying to do any of that. As it is, awakened awareness, a vivid appearance, part of the magnificent display of our own awareness, inseparable from our own awareness. This is the easiest of all meditations. You know, every single great being who has ever lived, really great beings who have had the liberating power where lots of people wake up, they all say, well, you know, if you want to do it the easy way, just sit here for a while. Just sit here for a while. And conviction will dawn. The picture is already painted. There's no picture to paint. Right, Edmund? Edmund's a painter. I have something to contribute to you, Edmund. All images are equal. Oh, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, that words, text, It's an image. That's all it is. It's an image. That's all it is. It's an image. It's the reverberation of the sound of awareness. And so all images, whether they're visual or non-visual or whatever they are, you know what I'm saying. But you know, I agree with you. And I say this very often in satsang. What I have to say is nothing compared to what is felt here. The felt sense of reality that cannot be described is the most potent thing going on everywhere. And once in a while, there are some words that are coupled with that that are zingers. They just undo everything, you know? There's no escape from who you are. So everyone who is supposed to partake of that is. But it's entirely up to you. Even the woman who came here the other day who was so fired up, you know, she was supposed to be here. She was supposed to hear that, even if she never thinks of it again until she's on her deathbed. There's no way to get away from the truth, and no one can get away from the truth. But here's the incredible reality of it. We either get to live every moment of our life knowing we are that, or when we're dying, we realize it, and we realize that all of our life we believed in an illusion. So either way, we're totally free in this lifetime. There are no many lifetimes to live out in order to be free. Everyone realizes who they are in every lifetime. It's like that trick, you know, where you pull the tablecloth out from under all the dishes on the table. That's a trick of awakened awareness. But you see, awakened awareness could care less about any structures that exist that talk about awakened awareness. It doesn't have to fit itself into anything. Each moment is a moment of complete and utter freedom. Directly experienced by everyone. Even if it isn't recognized, it's still directly experienced. But oh, what an incredible blessing and magnificent reality to realize it. You know, to really realize it. And we can sit around forever waiting for that big moment of enlightenment to happen. But and that'll probably never happen. It might happen, as we see already, maybe it'll happen one in every, 100 million people, if that many. One in every 100 million, not very good odds, is it? You can do better in the lotto than that, I think. Or we can make the choice for freedom and immediate perception. You see, this freedom and immediate perception that I talk about, the reality of natural rest, is the great teaching that's been handed down from one generation to another for at least 17,000 years. And it's the one where millions of people have awakened by now. So why not do what works? You know, it's just if you want to buy a PC, say, for example, you will go for the one that works, right? All your friends say, oh, yeah, I like this one. It really works, and they have good customer service. And this is the same thing. Natural rest is the direct route. And, you know, sometimes in the ancient tradition, they'd say, well, natural rest is really for people of the highest ability. And what that means is that the highest ability is the ability to relinquish all concepts, just to let them all go, to let go all belief systems and realize that there's freedom only of awareness as immediate perception, where awareness is indivisible from the immediate perception. Now, the highest ability means, too, that from point of view, we'd examine something like that initially and say, oh, you know, that couldn't possibly be, or we must have to do all these things. Look at all these people meditating, or look at this guru or that guru or what and what they're doing, and they're realized in this, that, and the other thing. But, you know, everyone's already realized in the moment. So this is, in the Great Freedom Teaching, we emphasize keeping the focus on yourself, keeping the focus entirely on yourself and your own realization rather than what everybody else is doing, because you alone are. You are the root of everything. Now, for some people, that's just way much too responsibility to take. But to take that responsibility is to be of the highest ability. So we select ourselves to be of the highest ability. No one else selects us. And when we do, just when we make that step of the most important choice, okay, you know, I may not have been living this way for decades, but I'm hearing about this, it sounds good, I feel a good vibe in the room, sounds pretty good to me, I'm going to give it a whirl. That's the starting point. And then all the support you need to do that is right here. But you know, there are many people who come to the Great Freedom Teaching after decades of all kinds of practice in sadhana in either one setting or many settings. And then, you know, come here, or maybe they haven't had any sadhana or practice at all. Like Nettie said, I just wanted to know who I am. Well, there are quite a few people who come who just want to know who they are. They've maybe never even heard of enlightenment. But it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter if you have a high IQ or a low IQ. All you need to do is be able to take responsibility for your own perceptions. Awareness freely existing as the deliciousness of every single perception. And as we rest as that, more and more, we have an incredible softness that just comes over us. You know, I see this so amazingly in these rooms, that people come here with all kinds of different levels of point of view in their faces. You know, sometimes just all gnarled up and in incredible pain and suffering from lots of different points of view, and sometimes with some release from that. And then I just see this softness completely come over the entire ground of being. You know, it comes over and it comes up from the ground of being at the same time. And it's just natural. It's like the flow of the Ganga. Just totally natural. So, you know, I mean, it already is who we are. And if we just open ourselves to that, it becomes more and more obvious. It just naturally becomes more and more obvious. It's very, very straightforward. It's very simple. It's very easy. It's the great doing that is the undoing of all doing.
Candace, are there different moments when you're feeling, like sometimes I have moments where colors are looking really vibrant and people are looking really clear in their whole being, and you know, I have really heightened experience like that. And then I'll have an experience maybe where I'm here in the room and I'm listening and I feel more like my brain is a little bit engaged, so I'm less like, huh. Is all of that, I don't know, I guess I'm wondering if one of them is getting caught trying to understand point of view, or if it's, or if there are different moments where you're feeling more of expansiveness with it and more contracting of it.
No, it's unwavering, utter lucidity. Unwavering, no matter what the circumstances are. So it's to separate it out into, oh, you know, say I'm sitting by the Ganga, everything's expansive, everything's beautiful, and now I'm reading this material and everything is all uptight and contracted. Well, that's good. That's a perfect time to rest. Because see, as human beings, everything is included. And certainly if we want to fully realize awakened awareness, everything is included, including communication. So if we want to be able to communicate ourselves as awakened awareness and share the reality of that with others who may also want to awaken, then we need to employ concepts to do that. So it's very important to come into this inseparability that allows for all of this to naturally flow, where absolutely nothing is excluded. So, you know, sometimes we come with ideas about awakening being transcendence. Transcendence is not awakened awareness. Transcendence is, of course, awareness, but it is awareness that is not awakened awareness. Awakened awareness has the qualities of utter lucidity, unwavering utter lucidity, bliss, and the expression of exalted qualities and activities. So that doesn't mean you're destined to be the world's savior, although you could be the one, I don't know. Did you see The Matrix, the one? It just means that whatever your passion is, you will realize that in some kind of an unimaginable way. You know, it'll just be stunning. It'll be so far beyond anything you could have imagined. So, you know, these three qualities are present. You see, we can prove that transcendence does not have this emanation of exalted qualities and activities. We can prove that that's so because in cultures where transcendence is emphasized, I'm not talking about the cultures of individual countries, but traditions. There hasn't been the capacity to solve the problems in the world. So wherever there has been that emanation of exalted qualities and activities, there is the capacity to solve the problems of the world. You know, whether it's food, hospitals, shelter, whatever it might be. Transcendent is to enter into a non-conceptual state, like emptiness, nothingness, no self, no thought, impartiality, neutrality, even bliss or clarity alone.
Excluded.
that it's not integrated, the negative going to be.
Exactly. It adopts an extreme of transcendence. In some teachings, but in other teachings not. But you know, it's just like a fine watch. Have you ever looked in a fine watch, a very expensive watch, or seen a picture of one and it shows all those little dials or wheels? And they're all stacked up on top of each other and all somehow geared in relation to each other. Timeless freedom is like that. Sometimes it can all happen at once, but that is exceedingly rare. This is, you know, maybe once in a billion, if that. Maybe once in a billion, if that. But what you can guarantee yourself is that if you rest naturally as freedom and immediate perception, your odds are so much greater, because the odd is, you know, you. You're the only odds. Everything is you. So you're not dependent on anything else. It's not something dependent on anything else. And this is why it's called a pinnacle teaching. It's beyond causality. It's not something that's dependent on something else. It's only freedom as every perception. And with this, it's like the gears of the watch. Click, 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 click. Everything keeps on ticking, you know, for generations. Keeps perfectly timeless time. Many times when we've lived from point of view to one degree or another, we've completely cut ourselves off from a truly intimate relationship with another human being. So when we're faced with someone who is totally 100% us, it can be a bit to get used to. But, you know, just relax. Love is all right, and it's not threatening. It's safe and comfortable. Just allow it to happen and allow the relationship to occur. Just totally open yourself up. It's okay to look directly at someone who loves you. Just to look at them. It's really okay. Nothing's gonna happen. The world isn't going to fall apart. It's very sweet. And, you know, this really is a completely safe environment. So it's good.
I've had quite a busy 2 weeks and not a lot of sleep, so maybe it's just a function of that. But like, I was sitting there last night thinking I should rest naturally, and I keep nodding off to sleep. I mean, that's not that kind of pre-sleep relaxness. That's not resting naturally. I'm still battling with defining what resting naturally is. Like, I understand meditation and I understand sleep, but this resting naturally is. It's like I keep thinking, is this resting naturally, or is this just kind of zoning out, or is this daydreaming, or is this nodding off to sleep, or is this, like, I'm not sure still what resting naturally is, and I've read the resting naturally thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. So I just wondered if you had any practical things to say about resting naturally.
Just keep showing up. Just keep coming back. And slam on the brakes of, you know, all the thinking about everything. Is this resting naturally? Is this pre-sleep, or is this, you know, all the descriptions? And even if you cannot stop all those descriptions, rest naturally as all the descriptions. If you just can't keep them from coming, just rest naturally as all the descriptions.
I mean, it's hilarious. I'm sitting here laughing at myself thinking, this is so ridiculous. I can see what I'm doing, but I can't stop doing it.
Well, I put people to sleep, so that's okay. So you, people do fall asleep in satsang, and you know, that's okay.
That's what I was talking about at all. I was talking about when I'm on my own, you know, in the mornings or in the evenings, I'll just sit here and rest naturally, and I keep either thinking when I'm daydreaming or I end up thinking about something else, or like I make some kind of breathing or doing some method that I've learned.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, if you've come here with a lot of methods, in other words, being free depends on something else, it depends on a method, then it might take a while to just relax into not having to do anything. Uh-huh. But, you know, like Adrian said so beautifully, or Pietra too, you just keep showing up, and you already are who you are, so, you know, nothing happens here. There's nothing happening here. Not a thing. Not a single thing happening here. It just dawns, wow, I am who I've always been. I am who I've always been. And, you know, when that really dawns, there's just like a softness that washes over everything. We'll sit for a few moments.